And here we go. The final hour of the Monday edition of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you. Overreaction Monday underway. The knee-jerkiest overreaction Monday that we will have all season. On one hand, you got the college football ranks. The biggest improvement from any team that you will see is from week one to week two. That's what every football coach everywhere has ever said. And in the NFL, everybody thinks that they've got a spectacular read on teams after week one. I promise you, you don't. And neither do I. But that's why we have Sports Talk Radio to Sports Talk. Ain't it, my dudes and dudettes? It is Overreaction Monday. We are looking for your biggest overreactions. You can call us at 844-326-3663. That is the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. You can also shoot us a text. 71307 on the text line. 71307 if you want to get at us in that direction. Start your text with Fan FAM. We'll read them on the air. I want your biggest overreaction. What's that thought that you had that crossed your mind after watching a little footy this weekend that you're going to stand on business about? We have given you a few. You want another one? Here's one great one. Michael Penix Jr. will be quarterbacking the Atlanta Falcons before week five. Because the big concern that I had for the ATL, I think, went on full display. And it's this. Kirk Cousins was having a real good time in Minnesota before the Achilles popped, and he moved on to take a fat stat contract from the ATL Falcons. Kirk Cousins was putting up big numbers because he had a generational talent at wide receiver in Justin Jefferson and a spectacular set of talent players around him behind that. I think you saw that. He can hit the open guys, and Justin Jefferson gets open a lot for the Minnesota Vikings. That's why Sam Darnold came in and looked like a killer in game one, week one, granted against the New York Giants. I think that we will have a QB controversy in the ATL by week five.
I'm just curious. I don't know if you remember because I don't. Who did he have as receivers in Washington?
Nowhere near what he had to just in Minnesota.
But he still was able to take that, what he did there, and turn it into a pretty good contract going to Minnesota.
Ah, now that I will agree with. Pretty good contract coming off of a decently good time with Washington.
A mediocre Atlanta team, which is what he usually has, mediocre teams, is a step up from what they've had the last couple of years.
It's not anywhere close to what he had at Minnesota, and therefore the numbers won't be anywhere close to what he had in Minnesota. That's my overreaction from week one. Michael Penix Jr. will be quarterbacking this team by week six. That's my take. We continue.
And if that happens, it's going to be a really long year.
Maybe. Or Michael Penix Jr. is going to come in and be good. And I think Michael Penix Jr. is going to come in and be good.
Did you see what I saw?
Sure did. We're not going to talk about it, but I absolutely did.
I know. Okay.
All right. We are doing Overreaction Monday. So 71307 text line. Start your text with Fan FAN. Give me your biggest overreaction or give us a buzz on the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663 if you want to come in that direction. Another overreaction. Gave it to you earlier. I'll run it by you again. I think you saw what Clemson's offense should be. I think you saw Clemson's offense with Garrett Riley completely at the controls. I think you saw Dabo Swinney take his feet off the pedals and his hands off the wheel and allow Garrett Riley to drive. And I think you saw a creative and wide open Clemson offense. The question mark will be, do we see the same thing against NC State, or does it go back to being the bland vanilla Clemson offense it was the last couple of years? That's my college football overreaction. Let's keep going on with it. Let's see here. We got Wesley in the chat said, this is probably me just being a hater man against South Carolina, but how is UK favored by 9.5? I've never seen a more pathetic offense and defense. Their quarterback had three completions the whole game. Yeah, I think Kentucky was dramatically overrated, and I do think Kentucky was the beneficiary of the SEC bump, the bump you get in the polls just by flying that blue and yellow banner.
How well did App State do?
What's that got to do with Kentucky, South Carolina?
Because I'm putting Kentucky on par with App State.
Oh, no, they're not that down. They're not a group of five teams.
Wait a minute. So you're saying they're an SEC team?
App State? No, I'm saying Kentucky's not.
Kentucky. So Kentucky's an SEC team.
Yes.
I'm helping you to prove your point.
Yes.
You're just not listening, but that's fine.
No, I am. I'm saying Kentucky's not as bad as App State. All due respect to App State, and I hope Diesel's not waiting for me outside to punch me in the head. But I suspect I'll be listening to Wire to Wire today from 3 to 7 p.m. No specific reason. I'll be intrigued. All right. So your overreaction, 71307. Start your text with Fan. Give us a buzz, 844-326-3663. Now, let's run through some clips that we picked up this weekend. It's the Audio Blitz, our favorite audio from the weekend, and there are some interesting ones in here. This one I adored. Did you watch any NFL pregame before kickoffs yesterday?
No, I was doing stuff around the house.
Okay. I did. No, I didn't see this, but I got it sent to me. I got to address it. Apparently, Fox welcomed Tom Brady into the broadcast booth. And I'm going to say, just like I thought, it was going to be remarkably bland, spectacularly bland. All right. It was like listening to a bowl of vanilla pudding that talks.
Not like Bill Belichick is very entertaining and
straight up hoodie's better than Brady in the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my point.
Yeah. Straight up, hoodie's better than Brady in the box. Brady was bland and vanilla and boring. Brady is the epitome of just because they played doesn't mean they're entertaining. All right?
You know who else is better? The guy he replaced.
I 100% agree. 1,000% agree. You know who else is better? Drew Bledsoe, who decided, now in fairness, not to take down Brady, to take down Brady's counterpoint on CBS, Tony Romo. Drew Bledsoe decided to go scorched earth. To go scorched earth on Tony Romo. By name. Romo, if you're watching this, you know it's true. When he got the starting nod, he wasn't the inquisitive guy with questions anymore. He was Mr. Know-It-All. He was the guy who knew everything. Unlike Tommy. Andrew and Tommy on a first-name basis there. Love that. How about Drew Bledsoe just massacring Tony Romo for no reason at all, by the way? There was zero need for that to get played. That's incredible. Shedeur Sanders and his Colorado Buffaloes went to Nebraska and got it handed to them by Matt Rule's Huskers, just like somebody told you they would. Me, I did. Here's my favorite part. After the game was over, Shedeur sat down, and did he talk about the pass game? No. Did he talk about the struggles? No. Did he talk about what they need, can, should do better? No. Instead, he decided to do this. I'm the best. I'm the man. I'm the guy. Give it to me. Let me do it. Dude. Stop. Stop. Deion, stop. Shedeur, stop. All right? I know there were some injuries. Shiloh left the game. Believe his arm is injured. Don't know how bad it is. We'll find out today, I'm assuming. I know you were banged up. You were losing guys due to targeting. Lack of defensive discipline. Talk about that a different day. But stop, guys. Really, sincerely, stop. There's this narrative going on that Deion's at Colorado just to promote Shedeur. And so when your team goes out there, it gets his rear end handed to him. And the first thing you do when you get to the postgame presser is start going, we can't run. We got no run game. I'm the best guy out there. And I'd rather go down with me throwing punches because I can throw the best. Dude, the whole team sucked. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
Is he not at least one or two as far as the best on that team?
He's one, if not two, it's Travis. All well and good.
Right. I mean,
but so. Do you understand when you go out there and you get it handed to you and you go in the locker room and the first thing you do is to blame your O-line and your running backs? Not to go, I got to be better. We got to be better. We got to plan better. We got to execute better. We got to listen. You know me, man. I'm 100% the guy that appreciates players and coaches who actually keep it real instead of denigrating themselves into the BS coach speech that gives nothing to you. You know I appreciate honesty and candidness from guys. But man, when you are QB1 and you get it handed to you, because Colorado was never in that game. There was never a competitive angle to that game. When you go into the post-game presser and you start throwing your bus over or throwing under the bus, your O-line, your running backs, your coaches, etc., I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to be real, real difficult to justify the rest of your offense, you know, trying next game. Why in the world am I going to battle for you when I know if anything goes wrong, you're just going to get on the mic immediately, not after a few minutes of introspection, immediately get on the wagon and start putting me under the bus like I'm the only reason we lost? So, eat one, Shador.
So your belief is he didn't do that to their face? Because I believe before he went out there and got, I'm sure he told every single one of them in the locker room the same thing that he told the media.
I don't care if you did it. I don't care if you brought them into the postgame presser and made them the front row of the audience and looked and said, "You suck, you suck, you suck, you suck. You're cool. You suck. I quit. I'm out."
They would have been blocking the media, and that would have been the best blocking they did.
It'd have been the only blocking they did. Yeah. But still, if you are QB1, and I would do this for any QB1. Anybody, if you are QB1, you drop the game and you go right to a mic to tell everybody else, that's on you, that's your fault, that you're bad, I was out there doing everything I can do, but you held me back? Bro, that's not dissension in the ranks. That's tossing a live hand grenade into the ranks. That's a bad look. And at a point in time where the entire narrative about your team is, it's just the Deion and Shador show, to come out and act like that doesn't really do anything to convince anybody that's not true. That's just a bad look, dude. That's just a bad look from Shador. All right, let's keep going. Shane Beamer after the win over Kentucky. Love it. Want to believe it. Hope it's real. We'll find out next week. Hope it's true. LSU's coming to town, and OBT Dubs, Columbia, South Carolina. You are the site of College Game Day this weekend. The nation's eyes will be on you. Shane gets his chance to go on the mic on game day and talk up the boys. Lenoris gets his first crack at a primetime TV slot on ESPN. The eyes of the nation turn to Columbia, South Carolina. Can you run that performance back? And if the answer is yes, I can. Guys, recruiting matters immensely. Am I right, Florida State? This is a spectacular opportunity for you to go out there and put what you are on display. Don't blow it.
Can we get someone other than Darius Rucker to do the picks, though?
You know it's got to be Hootie. Who else are you throwing in that spot? Debo? Maybe get Debo back? I think he's busy.
There are plenty of famous people from South Carolina.
From South Carolina, the school. Who's bigger than Hootie? The artist of the greatest American record ever put together, Cracked Rear View. Who's better for that spot than a dude that is constantly out there putting South Carolina on the map?
I want to see Paul White doing picks.
Okay, I agree. I'll take that one back. Give me Paul the Giant, Big Show White. I'm good with that.
Sitting next to Lee Corso.
Wait a damn minute.
Just so Corso can be looking.
Lonzo, Lillian Garcia is a Gamecock.
Yeah?
I had no idea. How have none of you told me this? The greatest ring announcer in the history of ring announcers, Lillian Garcia, is a Gamecock.
I don't know. I think Samantha might be the greatest of all time, but, you know.
Mm-mm. It's Lillian. Lillian walked so Samantha could run. All right? Goat.
She is a forefather, if you will, of what we got now. For sure.
For sure.
But not
for
the greatest
sure.
of all time. No.
Oh, she's a goat.
We'd have to go with Finkel for that.
Who else do you put up there? You know what? Even with that, I want Paul White. I want Lillian. You know what? That's a great text. Texter just said, Mike just texted the show, said, what about Dawn Staley?
Yeah.
Put Dawn up there.
Yeah,
Let's go.
Put a champion up there. Why not?
I got to tell you, if I'm South Carolina, I might be making the call to old Kirk Herbstreit, being like, yo, listen, I know you're kind of going to pick your own dude, but like, give us Dawn, right? Like, let's get Dawn up there.
He doesn't make the picks. He's not the one who makes the decision.
No, I know. If anybody for that network is told what they're going to say and how they're going to say it, It's Herbie.
Well, that's true.
I mean, not that that's coming from...
Well, it's probably going to kill him being, you know, at that school when Clemson's up the road because he's such a Clemson homer.
All right. So there's some of my audio. We got plenty more for you as the show rolls on, including... I got to do it. I'm very sorry. I know it's Football Monday. There were not one but two food takes that came off social media this weekend. One of them, I think, is massively important.
Oh, cool. I thought we were talking soccer again. Your food's all right.
We might. We'll see. Texas said put Don Staley and Kim Mulkey up there to make... I don't need them fighting on the damn stage, Chris.
Well, why not?
Okay, maybe I do. Two food takes. One is critically important, and you must all hear it. The other one might be the worst food take I've ever heard. And you guys have heard some doozies, some whoppers on this show. Plus, I got more audio for you. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Rolling on, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Listen, it's Mondays. This is not a spot to do food takes. Got to do a food take. Got to do two food takes, as a matter of fact. One of them is one that I find relatively interesting because an authority has spoken out. An authority has made a decision here. And I wonder if it is one that we are willing to abide by, one that is something we are all going to lean on, or if it is something that is going to make us push back against the legal system itself. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was on the Late Late Show with Stephen Colbert last week. And Colbert asked her a question that I think it's been in the public eye for a very, very long time. It is a question I have heard asked many, many times. And so Colbert brought it to the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Here is how Justice Brown Jackson ruled on a question that you have asked, I have asked, we have all asked. So according to the Supreme Court, Lonzo, a hot dog is indeed a sandwich. Do we abide by the ruling or do we wish to appeal?
No, I'm good with it.
I think I am.
Yeah.
I've debated this in my head many, many, many times.
It's not a majority yet.
It's not.
And he has picked people, some who are no longer with us and not on the court. So, but I mean, I would love to see it come up before the entire court.
I think it needs to, right? Like, I think we need an official
ruling. It has to clear lower courts before it can get that high, though.
I mean, look, we brought it straight to the voice, and it was addressed. Now, I'll let you all kick that one around a little bit, all right? Multiple Supreme Court justices saying, yes, a hot dog is indeed a sandwich by definition. I really don't have anything against that because the big argument has always been that it's not two pieces of bread, it's one piece of bread cut in half and hinged. But here's the thing, a lot of sub-restaurants nowadays, though, they do that, but they do it top-down. They cut the bread open at the top and open it up, and so it's, and I believe that's what makes it a hoagie or a hero, not a sub, but...
Or a pita, depending on how thin the bread is. You played the one where you know we're going to agree on, and then you're going to play the other one. Even though I just briefly heard it, I'm sure we're going to fight. So
if we fight on this, I mean it. This may be the one that ends all fights. This might be the one that is the end. Because I'm telling you for a fact, 90% of people are going to be with me on this one, and the 10% that aren't are sociopaths. I'm standing on that.
Okay, I already have an argument, so let's do it.
Let's do it. This comes from Twitter. Found a podcast that had this take. It's a very short clip, and you'll find out why I had a violent physical reaction to this clip. I will fight you. I will fight you in a parking lot. If you ever show up at a Mexican joint, order tacos, and ask for ketchup, you're a bad person.
All right, you're not going to fight anybody.
Bad person.
Because you've said many times you've never been in a fight. This would not be the time to try it, especially with the problems you've been having today. You've been stretching wrong and about ready to die. So a fight, probably not a good move. What's ketchup made out of and what's salsa made out of? No, what I mean, what are the prime ingredients?
Tomatoes.
Right. So, I mean,
do you not see a difference between salsa and ketchup? You ever put salsa on your burger? I kind of do want to do
actually,
that now.
I do want to do that now.
Yeah. That works.
You can put salsa on just about anything, just like you can put ketchup on just about anything.
You're mixing.
What's missing is some peppers and some chunks. If your ketchup has peppers and chunks, then guess what it is?
Salsa!
Exactly.
No, it's not. Because salsa, ketchup is tomato paste that is processed and loaded with sugar. I'm team ketchup, so that we're clear. I will put ketchup on my dogs, on my burgers. I'll put ketchup on my meatloaf. I'm team ketchup, for sure. But to say ketchup and salsa are the same thing is ridiculous. Comprised of the same ingredient, maybe? Sure, have at it. They're both tomato-based.
There's no maybe. They absolutely have the same ingredient.
But what you add to tomato to make it ketchup and what you add to tomato to make it salsa, literally nothing in common. Nothing else exists. Tomato paste over here, tomato cut into chunks over here, sugar over here, peppers and other and onions or whatever else you want cut into your salsa over here. They are different. Same foundation, entirely different things. Okay? Entirely different things.
So if you were at a Mexican restaurant and someone put ketchup on their taco, you would get up and leave.
If I go to a Mexican restaurant with someone and they order ketchup on a taco, my order instantly becomes to-go. I will not be seen at a table with you degenerate eating ketchup on a taco.
Mild salsa ordered at a Mexican restaurant is basically ketchup.
No, it's not. Sugary tomato paste, cut up tomatoes with peppers added.
Tomatoes naturally have sugar in them.
And then you add more to make a ketchup, or you dice it up and put in peppers and make salsa. These are different things, fundamentally different things built on the same foundation. All right? If you put ketchup on your taco, my order is to go and I am leaving. And if I am your ride, I hope you've got Uber on your phone because you're not getting in my car, you lunatic.
Unless you're known to be a big tipper. I mean, you know, then probably.
I hope you tip your Uber driver because you're not in my rig anymore. And I'm not paying for your meal. I'm buying waiter, I need mine to go on a separate check and I need it ASAP. I cannot be seen at a table with this individual. Can't do it.
By the way, never said they were the same. If people were thinking I said they're the same, I said they come with the same basic ingredient.
You said they're basically the same.
They have the same. Well,
they're not basically the same.
Technically, if you have the same basic ingredient, then you are basically the same.
No. As Wesley just said, that's like saying steak and ground beef are the same thing. Are they the same foundation? 100%.
They both come from a cow.
But
some places, I'm not so sure. But
that's fair. The way that you prepare a thing can take it from being this to being something totally and entirely different. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, okay. This show without me, not a winner. This show with me, 3 times. He's speechless on that one.
Lonzo, the ketchup of this show. All right?
Kingmaker, baby.
Me, the salsa. Little spice, little pop, little flavor.
I think that pretty much describes the show. It absolutely does.
That ketchup actually is salsa. Now that I've walked myself into it, that's pretty fair.
It's not bad.
That's pretty fair. Texter said, Lonzo's eating at the wrong Mexican restaurant. I totally agree. Texter says, my kid puts ketchup on his taco because he's 4. Okay. Yeah, that's correct. That's the right answer.
But you allow it. If you were robbed, you would never allow such a heresy. Yeah, heresy.
Correct. That's from Chris, the same one earlier, who said his biggest mistake in parenting is making his kid a Panther fan. No, it's not, Chris. It's allowing your child to put ketchup on a taco. That's worse than making him a Panther fan. All right?
By the way, Joe, I've never been to that place that you're talking about. So, are there any of those around here? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I am going to get a taco for lunch, number one. Number two, if you ever see anyone putting ketchup on a taco, that person needs an intervention immediately.
Oh, now.
On the spot.
Now.
Immediately.
Now, anyone who sees Rob at a Mexican restaurant is going to put ketchup on their Mexican food just to see if you'll get up and leave.
So, I've told this story. I'll tell it very briefly. About 2 years ago, Lonzo and I had a conversation on the air about the proper way to flip the bird. All right, the proper technique, time, place to flip the bird.
Your grandma's is still the best.
Yes. So my grandma, for those of you that don't remember the conversation, my grandma, a stout, devout Irish Catholic woman who does not cuss or steal, instead of flipping you the bird, she'll throw all the fingers at you and she'll say the whole flock, as in the whole flock of the birds, right? To me, there's a time, a place, and a proper way to flip the bird. All right. It is thumb in. And it's in rowdy environments. Anyway, my then girlfriend, now fiance at the time, and my mother went out to a restaurant one time, a winery actually. And from across the winery, a young lady looked directly in the face and flipped me the bird. And I was like, the hell? So I walked over because, like, I'm not a confrontational person, but you're not flipping me the bird in front of my fiance and not catching words. I walked over there and she's like, this is the proper way you flip the bird, Rob Brown. And I'm like, ah, Armada, I like it. I get it. If I see you putting ketchup on a taco, I don't care if you're in the Armada. I'm coming to have a conversation with you, and it's going to be very serious and about your mental health because clearly you're unwell, okay? Don't do that. Be better. I expect better from anyone in the Armada. Be better. Tacos and ketchup do not, never have, never will go together. Yeah, I'm not talking the bed because it's that damn important.
All I'm saying is, eat what you eat, man. Whatever.
Unless it's ketchup.
Except
on a
for
taco.
That lady in Ohio who was eating the neighbor's cat. Don't do that.
And Skyline Chili. Stop that crap, too. That's gross. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great Malonzo with you here on a Monday morning. Overreaction Monday, looking for your biggest overreactions from the college and professional football weekend. You can give us a buzz, 844-FANFONE. That's the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, 844-326-3663, or text us at 71307. 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. Cinderella texts the show. He said, South Carolina going 11-1 with the only loss to Mizzou because Drink owes us one. Hey, I mean, that is an overreaction of sorts, and so to speak. It's a tough schedule, bud.
Wow, what if that happened? You do that, are you in the SEC?
Lifetime contract.
No, are you in the SEC title game?
If you're 11-1, yeah. Yeah, if you're for South Carolina specifically, I would say 11-1 to get you. For any SEC team, I would say that's getting you there. Yes, indeed. South Carolina, of course, after their big win over Kentucky, is going to be hosting College Game Day and the LSU Tigers coming up this Saturday. Then they've got Akron, and then the run of number 5 Ole Miss, number 4 Alabama, number 15 Oklahoma on the road. By the way, you're going to Tuscaloosa as well. Although, knee-jerk reaction, Bama had to fight for their lives to get back the University of South Florida. Now, I'm going to tell you this about South Florida. South Florida quietly has one of the sneakiest good defensive front sevens anywhere. They, and it's not because they're remarkably athletic. It's because their defensive front seven, I watched most of this game on Saturday night. They move all the time. There is not a straight up rush in the USF playbook. I think that's something that South Carolina can draw from. A lot of, and we saw that. I talked about that after game one against ODU. South Carolina with a lot of movement across the defensive line. A lot of twists, a lot of stunts. And I like that, right? We've talked about this before. Hardest position on the play that ain't quarter on the field to play that ain't quarterback is offensive line. You line up with seven guys ahead of you, and you have different rules based on who is where. So if you're getting a lot of movements and an offensive guard comes to the line, and you know I got this assignment in this spot here, but if that guy's over there, then my assignment changes to this. That's still true even if the defensive line is stunting. So a lot of movement against Alabama. And again, I think where I'm going to say this lovingly and respectfully to the Gamecock fans. You beat Kentucky. They ain't exactly Alabama. Like, let's see LSU come to the Hill first, right? Like, let's see what LSU does first. Because this LSU team is a team that lost to USC in the opener. And I do think it's a better version of USC. But they lost to USC in the opener. And they allowed Nicholls State to hang around a lot longer than I was comfortable with. It was 23-14 at the half against the Nicholls State Colonels. A team that you did not know was called the Colonels until right now. They let them hang for a while. Now, they did put up 21 in the third quarter.
Colonels as in guys that are over the military, not like corn.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Spelled with a C, not a K.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
They let Nicholls State hang around for a half, right?
Wait, run the ball. Corn is also spelled with a C.
I thought corn was spelled with a K.
It is if you're a fan of a certain band.
No, isn't. I mean, I'm an idiot, but like, I thought corn kernels with a K, not a C.
Oh, kernel.
Corn is spelled with a C. I'm an idiot, but come on, man.
All right.
Do you think I was sitting here going, corn, K-O-R-N, blah, 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 blah. That's my impression of corn.
That was a very good depiction. That's the old singer, not the new singer.
Falling on a freak on a leash. That was Creed doing corn. Nailed it. Scott Stapp does corn. Something takes a part of me.
You know he's playing Old Blue Eyes and something coming up here pretty soon. Scott Stapp is.
Oh yeah, it is. They're doing a Frank Sinatra biopic.
Yeah, but I don't think he's doing that in that. I think he's doing it in a different movie.
Really?
He's just showing up as. I don't think he's the. Yeah, I don't.
I thought he was. Okay, let's see. It is. No, it's all I can think. Yeah. Oh no, he plays Sinatra in the new movie about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Yeah, there we go.
That's hilarious. However, according to Variety magazine from back in April, Martin Scorsese is doing a Frank Sinatra biopic, and was eyeing Stapp along with Leo DiCaprio to star alongside Jennifer Lawrence in that movie.
Wow. Yeah, Scott's really got a shot at winning that role.
In my head, he does. He totally does. Come on, man. Stapp does Sinatra? Tell me you're not going straight to the theater for that.
I don't know. Can he sing that smooth? I don't know that he can.
I don't know. I got nothing. All right. Texas 71-307. Texter says, UNC Chris says, hot topic. Chiefs went out three-peat because Rob disrespected Patrick Mahomes and his ketchup fetish. Love you calling it a fetish, by the way. Phenomenal. Here's the thing. Again, I want you to know, on the hierarchy of food crime, ketchup on a steak is 50,000 steps behind ketchup on
a
taco.
Why do you hate ketchup so much?
I love ketchup.
It's two different ketchup takes, and you dislike ketchup in both of those.
I do, on steaks and tacos.
How do you feel about catsup?
Fine, whatever. Like, call it. I don't care. Like, I don't get mad about it. I believe it was called catsup before ketchup, and we just circle back around to it. But there's time and place for everything, and that includes condiments. Tacos and steak, not the time for ketchup. Not the time or place. Put it on a burger, absolutely fine. Put it on a hot dog, obviously. How else do you do it? Not tacos and steak, okay? Texas said, local eating establishments, here's your chance to make a taco with ketchup, have the shoot a bird moment, and call it the Rob Brown bird dog. Texas said, putting ketchup on a taco is like putting queso cheese in a bowl of cereal just because it's also made of milk.
No. No.
Bravo.
No.
Bravo.
No, no.
Well done.
No.
Texter said, my dad put ketchup on pizza and justified it, saying it was a Philly cheesesteak. Philly cheesesteaks don't have ketchup. I cannot stress the importance of that. Putting a ketchup on a Philly cheesesteak, right up there with putting it on a steak or taco.
You are.
No.
Are you been treading closely for a while on an arbiter status? I just want to, you've been really close to being food arbiter.
You know, this would be like, great one, if I walked into like a Sunday school at the local church and started dropping F-bombs on the kids and then went, you can't stop me. You're not the arbiter. You'd go, no, but I am a determiner of what's right and wrong, and this is wrong.
I got to admit, if I ever read that headline, I'd be like, yeah.
Checks out.
Okay.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Checks out. That's Rob. Hates them kids. Let me just say it for you. It's not true. And don't let Lonzo lie to you. All right, people? All right? All right.
Seen a picture of Lou the other day. He's getting big.
He is. He is. He'll be at the one. He's our.
Your brother has awesome hair, by the way.
It's all right. It's all right. Lester said ketchup and or country French salad dressing belongs on pizza. I want you to know if you put ketchup and the tomato paste on a pizza are dramatically more similar than ketchup and salsa. I don't love it, but I'm not going to call you a weirdo. You put it on a taco, I'm calling you a weirdo. To your face. To your stupid, bad food eating face.
Wow.
I said what I said.
Stupid.
If you eat ketchup on a taco, I don't know what to tell you.
All right. The first thing that's X-ing is Will Levis.
Will Levis is X-ing not because...
I wrote it down as Will Lewis. Maybe I should have said that.
I'd have been confused for a minute. Will Levis is trending not because of his performance, but because of his very dramatic Oscar-winning performance when he threw a game-losing interception, a game in which the Titans were up 17-0 and then lost to the Bears, who did not score an offensive touchdown in that game. Will Levis threw a game-sealing Chicago-winning interception, and as they followed the Bears defender to the end zone, Levis drops to his knees and goes full hands in the air, asking the heavens, why? Well, and it was like, slow it down, set it to a Celine Dion song, and win an Oscar for most dramatic performance by a quarterback.
Didn't expect him to try to make the tackle, did he?
He didn't even try. He just went knees to the ground.
No, I saw it.
You know that moment at the end of Shawshank Redemption?
No, still
when he comes out of the tunnel and he just does that to the heavens. Hands. That was Will Levis, but in sadness, not happiness. It was incredible.
Or when John Bender threw his hands up in the air at the end of Breakfast Club and they froze it.
But like on knees. Oh, it was beautiful. It was. I'm really excited about it because it's the second best reaction I've ever seen behind Jameis throwing a pick and having the dude lay out for the touchdown behind him in slow motion while Jameis just like eye rolls. This replaced it. It was spectacular.
All right. The next thing it's X-ing is Terry Funk.
I saw Terry Funk X-ing, but I did not go look why.
Okay. The BCC turned on Daniel Bryan Saturday.
Okay.
Or Bryan Danielson, rather. Yep. And put a plastic bag over his head.
I did see that.
And people were acting like it had never been done before, but apparently Terry Funk has done it before.
Freaking Terry
Funk.
And
that's why, I mean, there's probably nothing in that kind of match that hasn't been done. I mean, that Terry Funk hasn't done.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Terry Funk was a wild man.
And he just kept going, even when he was like in his 60s. So he probably even did light tubes, which is still the stupidest thing. All right, I learned
about those, by the way. They're sugar glass.
Are they?
Yeah, those light tubes are traditionally made. But even if you use the real ones, and I know this, the reason they use light tubes is because it takes very little to break them, and they explode. Even if you can flick them and they'll explode. So it looks very dramatic. But because of the glass they're made, the glass isn't as edgy as like traditional glasses. So they're a little bit safer to use.
I've had to change real ones before in grocery.
Yeah, you got
to
be real careful with them.
Yeah, you do, because jagged edges and stuff. All right, the next and final thing that's X-ing is GTA 6.
Do we have it? They keep pushing the release date back. We have one now? It's like 2025 now, I know.
That's it. Have you ever heard of a band called...
I did see this one.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently they asked an up-and-coming band if they would allow them the rights to use one of their songs on the radio.
Wow, I cannot read my writing.
It's okay. Well, I'm going to get you there.
The song was Temptation, apparently, and they only offered $7,500 to use it.
Yeah, and that was to buy out the song's royalties in the future.
But it wasn't just that, though. It was $75 to all three writers.
Yeah.
That's still...
So effectively, $21,000 to buy the rights to this song in its entirety. It was $7,500 three times, so $2,400, $23,500, whatever. I'm bad at math. That's why I do this. Point is, they offered that. GTA 5 made like $8 billion in profits, so the writers were like, no, that's not good at all.
Well, they said go bleep yourself is what they actually told GTA.
And for real, honestly, that's more than fair. That's more than you make $8 billion off this game. The next one's going to make 10. No. Texter said, ketchup. I put that on everything. Stop doing that. Stop it, Texter. Do better. We'll do better tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Update. Have a great day. Goodbye.